Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's Donna Marie Doherty with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up on this bulletin, Minister Jennifer Carroll McNeill will spend 2 hours in Letterkenny, which has left a bad taste in one government TD's mouth. Letterkenny University Hospital was the second most overcrowded in the country this morning, with 47 admitted patients without beds, 20 of them on trolleys. One of the organisers of an anti-illegal immigration protest to be held in Letterkenny on Saturday has rejected claims the protest is rooted in racism, and police in Derry are investigating criminal damage caused to walkers' plinths on the city's walls after paint bombs were thrown at it. These stories in full, plus more to follow. Also coming up on this evening's bulletin, Mark Gallagher will have all the latest in sport. That's due up at around 5:15. Starting off with news, the Health Minister is to visit Letterkenny tomorrow. Minister Jennifer Carroll McNeill will spend 2 hours in the town, which has left a bad taste in one government TD's mouth. Fianna Fáil Deputy Pat the Cope Gallagher says all Donegal TDs have been working together in a bid to address concerns relating to healthcare in the county. And at the very least, he believes the Minister should be meeting stakeholders campaigners, particularly in the areas of cancer services and diabetes. He and other TDs say she should be meeting directly with consultants to discuss their concerns as well. Deputy Gallagher says he's written to the Minister seeking a number of meetings, but as of yet, he's not received a response.
I'm very disappointed having received a general programme, and that's to visit Letterkenny between 11 and 1 o'clock tomorrow, visit the hospital, visit the Errigal ECC hub, and a briefing on the virtual ward initiative, and visit the site of the 110-bed community nursing unit. My goodness, how could you do that in 2 hours? And I, when I got this, I wrote to the Minister and I said on behalf of other TDs in Donegal, we attended virtual meetings last week and had discussions with the surgeons there and with the cancer care and with diabetes. And I've written to her and I've asked her to meet all of these groups, but I doubt very much between 11 and 1 if she'll be able to do that. So it's very disappointing. And I understand now this morning that she's to be in Sligo at 2 o'clock. So let me put it very crudely. This seems to be a box-ticking exercise, and I'm not happy with that. And I'm sure the other Oireachtas members in Donegal will not be happy with it either.
You indeed have attended meetings, as you said, and those meetings have been with Deputy Doherty, with Deputy McLaughlin, with Deputy Ward, and we need to have a united Donegal approach here.
Yeah, and at the first virtual meeting, Minister McConnellogue attended as well. So that's all of us singing from the one hymn sheet, and we're all doing this as Donegal people. There's no politics when it comes to medicine, and I'll be making this well known. And I'm now just wondering, you know, is there any point in going there at all tomorrow just to be there for photocalls? I'm not interested in that.
Well, Letterkenny University Hospital was the second most overcrowded in the country this morning, with 47 admitted patients without beds, 20 of them on trolleys in the emergency department. INMO figures show that nationally the figure was 429. 115 of those people were at University Hospital Limerick. That was the largest number this morning. There were 26 people waiting on beds in Sligo, 18 of those in the emergency department. One of the organisers of an anti-illegal immigration protest to be held in Letterkenny on Saturday has rejected claims the protest is rooted in racism. Kim McMenamin, who contested the last general election under the banner of the Irish people, says he's expecting at least 1,000 attendees. The protest is set to get underway at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, with a counter-protest also set to take place at the same time. Mr McMenamin says there's a clear message at the heart of the campaign.
Now, we're going to march from the station roundabout right up the Port Road and down the main street to the Market Square, and we're gathering there at 1 p.m. We've got some good speakers, and it doesn't matter who is actually speaking. It's the message that is important, not personalities. This isn't about me. And, you know, we are setting up the community councils and co-ops. We now have Letterkenny set up, and we will be asking people to join our co-op.
Meanwhile, Donegal County Council has emphasised its ongoing commitment to ensuring the county remains a welcoming, inclusive and respectful place for everyone who calls it home. The statement was issued following a discussion regarding the anti-immigration protest taking place at the weekend. Cameron Clark has the details.
At a meeting this week, members highlighted the importance of unity, respectful dialogue and strong community values at a time when concerns have been raised across various parts of the county. Councillors agreed on the need to work together constructively to support social cohesion and to ensure that Donegal remains a place where everyone feels safe and valued. Through its Black and Minority Ethnic Inclusion Strategy, Council says it sends a clear message. There is no place for hate in Donegal, only welcome, respect and a shared sense of community. The statement ends by encouraging residents to continue building positive relationships across all communities and to uphold the values of kindness, fairness and unity that define Donegal. On the 16th of April, there were 2,071 people, including 892 children, residing in 30 IPAS centres in Donegal.
Police in Derry are investigating criminal damage caused to Walker's plinth on the city's walls after paint bombs were thrown at it. The incident is believed to have happened between 20 past 6 and 20 to 7 yesterday evening, with a number of individuals thought to have been involved. Police are urging anyone with information or footage which may assist the investigation to come forward. The plinth, on which a statue of George Walker, the city's governor during the siege, previously stood, has been targeted on a number of occasions previously. The statue was destroyed in an IRA bombing in 1973. Meanwhile, a series of arrests have been made in connection with disorder in Derry involving young people that happened at the weekend. Police detained a 20-year-old man in connection with an assault on the Bonds Hill area on Monday night and four teenage boys in connection with earlier incidents on the Waterside. All have since been released on bail as the investigation continues. The PSNI say they expect to make further arrests in the coming days. Meanwhile, two men aged 22 and 24 have been arrested in Derry as part of an investigation into INL criminality. It have been released to allow for further police inquiries there also. The men were detained yesterday under the Terrorism Act as part of an operation during which a number of items were seized. Dennis Donaldson was a victim of the conflict in the north, a court has heard. Gerry Adams is giving evidence for the second day in his defamation trial against the BBC over claims it made he sanctioned the killing of Mr. Donaldson in Glenties in 2006, an allegation which he denies. Emily Keegan has more from the High Court.
Gerry Adams has told the jury he knew Dennis Donaldson and his family but didn't have many dealings with him because he worked at a higher level within Sinn Féin. The former leader of the political party told them Mr. Donaldson was arrested for being part of a so-called spy ring, but his charges were dropped in November of 2005. The jury heard soon after it was revealed Mr. Donaldson was a British agent and he was dismissed from Sinn Féin. Mr. Adams was shocked when he received the phone call informing him of Mr. Donaldson's death at a cottage in Donegal in April 2006, the court was told. It heard the real IRA claimed responsibility for the killing 3 years later. Gerry Adams told the jury Dennis Donaldson was a victim of the conflict and the fact his family are still struggling to get truth or even an inquest is troubling. Emily Keegan at the High Court in Dublin.
The Shannon has again heard of the families in Donegal who've been left dealing with the outfall of the defective concrete block crisis. Fine Gael Senator Manus Boyle yesterday took the opportunity to tell the Chamber of the story of the family who have a daughter who uses a wheelchair and cannot find an alternative accommodation to suit her needs. They're unable to build a new home on the same land as per the policies of the grant scheme. And Senator Boyle says the state of the homes is something that needs to be seen to be believed.
That was something that I never thought I would ever see. You could put your hand through the gavel in the house. You know, and that's what we're doing up here. I think the minister really needs to engage and we need to get him in here to see what's going on about the scheme. It needs to be pushed on. I mean, these people, they're at their wits' end. They really are. And I never imagined that it was as bad as it was. And that's, I'm coming from Donegal, and that's where it is the worst, but North Donegal. Also up there, I met with a family who was looking for temporary accommodation for their daughter for 2 years. She's wheelchair-bound. They can't get accommodation. But the silly thing about this leader is they want to build a house on the, beside the other house so they can work one from the other, but they're not allowed to do that under the scheme. To me, that's ridiculous, you know, to have it. Why, if the house is here, why they can't move it 12 foot over the field and build in there? So I would really like the minister to come in and see where we're going with this scheme and how we can push it on. It really needs to be pushed on. It's just been kicked down the road too long.
Fears are growing that the BT office in Derry may close. Almost 140 people work there. In a statement released by the company, they say that through a modernisation programme, they're cutting the number of buildings owned from over 300 to 30. It also outlines that there's ongoing consultation with the staff in Derry and their unions, and that where appropriate, people will be given the opportunity to relocate to other roles in Belfast. BT's also ensuring customers that they'll not be affected by the proposals. The Department of Agriculture, Food and the Marine has put an orange fire danger notice into effect for gorse heather, dried grasses and other vegetation in County Donegal. This warning will remain in place until midday on Tuesday. Donegal County Council is strongly advising landowners and the public to take all necessary precautions to prevent wildfires and to report any unattended fires without delay. Homeowners and building owners in areas prone to wildfires are urged to clear or trim any vegetation immediately surrounding their properties and their oil tanks. The public is also reminded that it is illegal to cut, grub, burn or otherwise destroy any uncultivated vegetation between March and August. Furthermore, the burning of agriculture waste is also currently prohibited. Imitation weight loss drugs and erectile dysfunction products were among the black market medicines seized in Ireland last year. That's according to the Health Products Regulatory Authority, which seized over 1 million illegal products last year. Grainne Power, Director of Compliance at the HPRA, says embarrassment is one of the many reasons people buy prescription drugs on the black market.
The largest volume of medicines being anabolic steroids, again, really concerning, very serious medicines, can do serious harm and indeed cause death, as evidenced by recent coroner's cases, very sadly. So really concerning that people are seeking to obtain these medicines outside of a safe and regulated supply chain and without medical supervision, so putting their health at risk. If someone has these products and they're concerned about their health, they need to go to their doctor or their trusted healthcare professional and talk about it and stop using them. And for someone who was thinking about it but has heard us today, I'd say, you know, don't be tempted. Stick to your local pharmacy and make sure your doctor or your prescriber is prescribing products for you, because they understand your health and the other medications you're on, and they'll keep you safe. In terms of disrupting the supply, we work obviously with revenue and on the streets to take these unregulated medicines off the streets, but also we work on the online and take websites down, take social media pages down. We're actively disrupting supply all the time.
It's 12 minutes past 5 here in Highland Radio. We're going to go to a short break, and Mark Gallagher will be back with all the latest in sport. It's 5:15 here on Highland Radio. Mark Gallagher is at the sports desk.
Thanks, Dan Marie. Good evening. We'll start with Gaelic Games. The draw for the All-Ireland Series has been made as the race for the Sam Maguire Cup gets underway in May. An Ulster final win for Donegal over Armagh would see Jim McGuinness's side feature in Group 1 against Tyrone, Cavan and the loser of the Connacht final between Galway and Mayo. However, should Donegal lose out in the Northern Showpiece, it could prove to be a more difficult assignment. In Group 4, the Ulster runners-up will play the Connacht winner, which will be either Galway or Mayo, Dublin and Derry. The first of the Sam Maguire matches will be played on the weekend of the 17th and 18th of May, when the provincial winners in Connacht and Munster will be among those in action, along with the beaten Ulster finalist. The Ulster and Leinster winners will be in action the following weekend, the 24th and 25th of May. The full draws for the All-Ireland Championship and Talchin Cup are available now over on our website at highlandradio.com. There are three provincial finals down for decision in the Under-20 Football Championship this evening. Among them is the much-anticipated clash of the North West Counties as Donegal take on Tyrone at Owen Beg. Donegal are back in the final for the first time since 2020 and haven't claimed the title since 2017, while Tyrone continued the defence of their provincial and All-Ireland titles they won last year. Part of our commentary team this evening is former county selector at minor, under 20 and senior level, Brendan Kilcoyne.
Of course, these two sides met 4 weeks ago and Donegal put in a hugely impressive performance, winning a scoreline that evening of 316 to 17 points. Both teams will be strengthened for tonight's showpiece in Owen Beg, with Donegal expected to have senior player Finbar Rorty and Termans Keane McMenamin, who had an excellent performance in Donegal's semi-final win versus Cavan, while Tyrone expect to have their star player, Owen McElholm, available. These two sides played in a titanic tussle, of course, 3 years ago in an Ulster Minor semi-final, with Tyrone winning on penalties after extra time on that occasion.
Donegal have named an unchanged starting 15 from the one that faced Cavan in last week's semi-final. The game throws in at 7:30 and is live here on Highland. In the other under-20 games this evening, Mayo and Roscommon contest the Connacht final in Tuam, while in Newbridge it is Louth against Meath in the Leinster decider. Gerla Burns has ruled out the All-Ireland finals moving back to August in 2026. The GAA president says a decision on switching the dates of the hurling and football deciders will be a matter for his successor. Next year's All-Ireland hurling final will be played on the same day as the final round of golf's Open and football's World Cup final. Moving on to soccer, the second of the Champions League semi-final first legs takes place tonight. Camp Nou is the venue for the meeting of Barcelona and Inter. Kick-off in Spain is at 8. Tottenham Hotspur will be without their captain Heung-min Son for the first leg of their Europa League semi-final against Bodo Glimt tomorrow night. The Korean has not featured for Spurs since the beginning of April due to a foot issue, and boss Ange Postecoglou says he still has some way to go.
He's out training, yeah, but he's still separate from the group, so he's improving and hopefully we can get him back in sooner rather than later.
In horse racing, the Gold Cup takes centre stage on day two of the Punchestown Festival this evening. With more on how things have gone so far this afternoon, here's Dennis Kerwin.
Willie Mullins landed yet another Punchestown Grade 1 when Jasmine DeVoe won the Channa Real Estate Novice Hurdle under Paul Townend. Jasmine DeVoe holding off the challenge of Honesty Policy by half a length to win at odds of 13-8. And Mullins' Bambino Fever completed the Cheltenham Punchestown Bumper Double when Jody Townend steered her to a two-length victory over Switch from Diesel. Earlier, Kate Doughty had won the 2-mile 3-furlong handicap hurdle for Willie Mullins, and he's a three-timer on the card so far, with Galopin Deschamps running in the Punchestown Gold Cup shortly. At Punchestown with Paddy Power News, the place for all your Punchestown Festival tips. I'm Dennis Kerwin.
The feature race goes to post at 5:30. Finally, in snooker, the afternoon session is underway on day 12 of the World Championship. Luca Brasel has come from 5-1 down to lead Judd Trump 8-7. Zhao Xin Tong picked up the one frame he needed to beat Chris Wakeland by 13 frames to 4. Ronnie O'Sullivan now holds a 10 frames to 6 advantage over Sijia Hui at the break. They'll go again in the evening session. And earlier, Mark Williams won a final frame decider against John Higgins to book his place in the semi-finals. The 50-year-old held off a late comeback from his opponent to seal a 13-12 victory at the Crucible. That is all your sports news for today, but don't forget to tune in to our live match coverage of the Ulster Under-20 final from 7:30 this evening. Donna Marie.
Thanks, Mark. Foyle MLA Padraig De Largy has described the A2 Buncrana road scheme as a significant infrastructure project which has the potential to help unlock the northwest. He was speaking after Infrastructure Minister Liz Kimmins for an update on the project in the Assembly. She confirmed a public consultation will begin towards the end of the year on the draft Northwest Transportation Plan, as well as a wider regional transport policy. Minister Kimmins believes the A2 will be an important part of that process.
The A2 Buncrana road scheme will be considered as part of the Northwest Transport Plan, which will be subject to a public consultation process. Views from the public were sought to help shape the vision and objectives for the transport plan, as well as identifying local transport concerns in the district through public engagement, which commenced on the 27th of August and concluded on the 5th of November last year. The draft plan is expected to be published for public consultation in December this year. So in line with that, then we hope to be able to move on with that. And I suppose obviously everything is subject to budget, but important that is a priority scheme. My department's currently developing the new regional strategic transport plan, which will set out priorities for investment in our road, rail and inter-urban limited stop bus network, including park and ride, right through to 2035. So I expect a draft of that plan to be ready for public consultation also at the end of this year.
A man has been sentenced at Derry Crown Court in relation to what police described as a vicious assault on two men in the city in 2023. 54-year-old Philip Donnelly received a sentence of 6 years today, half to be served in prison and half on licence. Oisin O'Kane, aged 20 years old, was sentenced to 12 months imprisonment, suspended for 2 years for assisting an offender during an earlier court appearance. Donal Kavanagh has more.
Both victims were on a weekend break to the city from England when they were assaulted on Duke Street in the waterside in the early hours of Saturday, June 24th, 2023. One of them sustained ankle injuries for which surgery was required. The other victim sustained serious hand injuries. Speaking after sentencing, Detective Chief Inspector Michael O'Loan said today this was a vicious assault on two men who were visiting the city on a weekend away. They were here to enjoy themselves, he said. Instead, they suffered a shocking level of violence which left them both in hospital. Detective Chief Inspector O'Loan added the PSNI is committed to apprehending perpetrators who commit such crimes and pledged officers will work tirelessly to bring them before the courts to be held accountable.
The UK government is to challenge a court ruling that found its refusal to hold a public inquiry into the killing of Sean Brown was unlawful. The GAA official was killed by a loyalist gang as he locked the gates of a club in Ballaghy in County Derry in 1997. The Secretary of State, Hilary Benn, says he remains determined to have a full, thorough and independent investigation into Mr Brown's murder. A reservoir interruption may cause intermittent supply disruptions to Stranorler, Balbuffet, Drumbo and surrounding areas. Works are scheduled to take place nightly from 11 p.m. until 7 a.m. until Friday. Meanwhile, water conservation restrictions may cause supply disruptions to Lifford, Rafoe, Convoy, Edenmore, Rossgear, 60 Acres, Porthall, Carrickmore, Monaghelvin and surrounding areas. As well, restrictions are scheduled to take place nightly from 10 p.m. until 7 a.m. And again, that is starting tonight until Friday. Eishke Éireann says it may take up to 4 hours after this time for supplies to return. Looking now to weather, warm and mainly sunny for the rest of the day. Some heavy or thundery showers are possible, but most places will stay dry. Dry and clear for some time tonight. Cloud will gradually increase with some light rain or drizzle to develop later. Lowest temperatures overnight of 7 to 11 degrees. To conclude this evening's bulletin, here's the headlines. The Health Minister is to visit Letterkenny tomorrow. Minister Jennifer Carroll McNeill will spend 2 hours in Letterkenny, which has left a bad taste in one government's TD's mouth. Fianna Fáil Deputy Pat Cope Gallagher says all Donegal TDs have been working together in a bid to address concerns relating to healthcare in the county. And at the very least, he believes the Minister should be meeting stakeholders and campaigners, particularly in the areas of cancer services and diabetes. Letterkenny University Hospital was the second most overcrowded in the country this morning, with 47 admitted patients without beds, 20 of those on trolleys in the emergency department. INMO figures show that nationally the figure was 429, 115 of those at University Hospital Limerick, the largest amount in the country. There were 26 people waiting on beds in Sligo, 18 of those in the ED. One of the organisers of an anti-illegal immigration protest to be held in Letterkenny on Saturday has rejected claims the protest is rooted in racism. Kim McManaman, who contested the last general election under the banner of the Irish people, says it's expecting at least 1,000 attendees. The protest is set to get underway at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, with a counter-protest also to take place at the same time. And finally, police in Derry are investigating criminal damage caused to Walker's plinth on the city's walls after paint bombs were thrown at it. The incident is believed to have happened between 20 past 6 and 20 to 7 last evening, with a number of individuals thought to have been involved. Police are urging anyone with information or footage which may assist the investigation to come forward. That's all for now from the news desk. We'll be back again with headlines at 6 o'clock. The obituary notices this Wednesday evening, April 30th. The death has occurred of Anais McFadden, 159 Mount Marion, Milford. Anais's remains will repose at his late residence tomorrow and Friday from 12 noon until after the rosary at 9 o'clock on both days. His funeral mass will take place in St Peter's Church, Milford on Saturday at 11 a.m. with burial afterwards in Milford Cemetery. Funeral can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to St Vincent de Paul Rathmullen Day Centre, care of Eamon Scott Funeral Director or any family member. The death has occurred of Ellen Q. Gortley, Letterkenny. Remains will repose at Letterkenny Funeral Home, Port Road, Letterkenny today and tomorrow for public viewing from between 7:30 and 10 p.m. on both evenings. Requiem Mass on Friday at 10:30 in the Church of the Irish Martyrs, followed by cremation at Lakelands Crematorium. Funeral Mass can be viewed on the Parish of Ochonachin webcam. Family flowers only. Donations, if desired, to the Alzheimer's Society of Ireland, care of any family member, or Bradley O'Doherty Funeral Directors. House private, please. The death has taken place of James Devine, 60 Carrickane Road, Cloddy, reposing at his home today from 6 o'clock. Funeral leaving his home on Friday at 20 past 10 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Ahabrack at 11 a.m. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. The death has occurred of Benny Donaghy, Maharamore, Clonmany. His remains are reposing at the family home. Funeral from there on Friday morning at 20 past 10, going to St Mary's Church, Clonmany for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 10 a.m. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to St Columbkill Village, Clay, Clonmany, care of any family member or McFeely Funeral Directors. The funeral mass can be viewed live on churchservices.tv. The death has taken place of Patrick Joseph Brosnan, Mina Venon, Quigley's Point. His remains will repose at his family home from 6 o'clock this evening. Removal from there on Friday morning at 10:30, going to St Columbus Church, Drung for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Requiem Mass can be viewed live on mcn.live. Family flowers only, please. Family time, please, from 9 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has taken place of Patrick Keyes, 8 Turk Road, Dunamana, reposing at his home. Funeral leaving at his home tomorrow morning at 20 past 10 for Requiem Mass in St Patrick's Church, Killinat, Dunamana at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. tonight. Shuttle bus service from Silverbrook Road to and from the Wakehouse is available. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live on the parish YouTube channel. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.